Father, bless this word, bless this lesson. Help it, Lord, to penetrate deep into the soil of our hearts. Father, I thank you that words are seeds, and there is seed that you are sowing into us tonight in this message. God, we want to be servants of the Most High and a representation of Jesus here on the earth. So, Lord, help us to hear what we need to hear, see what we need to say, and choose to do what we need to do in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. At the top of your page, I believe there is a scripture, John 13:4-5. Is that in your book? Okay, let's all read it together. He, Jesus, riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel. Jesus was a servant leader. He is our model. He was sitting with his disciples, and he was the greatest among them. But he wanted to show them that he was at their level. He didn't think of himself as someone that was superior. He was willing to wash their feet. And washing feet was the lowliest servant's job in the New Testament. You see, they had sandals on. So when they walked around, their feet got really dirty. And their shoes were really dirty. And so when they came into a house, the first thing the lowliest servant in the house would do is wash somebody's feet. And so Jesus put himself in that position to show us that we are servants to everyone. We wash one another's feet in many ways. Amen? Amen. So we're going to, before we jump into our definition of servanthood, we're going to take a look at the view from the top and the view from the bottom. That's what we're covering through this whole lesson. A great man once said, power corrupts and ultimate power corrupts ultimately. The statement can be based upon a look at history today and in our world. Man's natural tendencies is to lord over other people. The natural tendency is to try and control other people. Often it's for personal gain. It's so that they can get something out of it. But Jesus. He demonstrated a different lifestyle of leadership. He made outrageous statements like the first will be last and the last will be first. And those that are greatest among you must be the least. And so when John and James came to him and said, it was actually their mom wanted them to be on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. Wanted to know if her sons could be there. Yeah, because moms, you know, we're out to promote our kids, right? And Jesus said, really? Are they able to suffer the things that I must suffer? And Jesus, he suffered many things in his lifetime. And it was all for the good of the other people that were around him. It was for the good of the world that Jesus laid down his life. Ultimately, he gave his life. But through his whole lifetime, his ministry, he was continually laying himself down. So he was a demonstration of God's love. And that's what her servanthood is. It is a demonstration of God's love. And that's what we want to do everywhere we go. All right, so let's go on and take a look at the definition of servanthood. In your book, there should be a definition of servanthood. And the first line is servanthood. Yeah. The first blank is servanthood. Pastor Leonard likes to fill in the blanks. So I will definitely shout them out as we go along. Servanthood is the first blank. Let's look at this in your book. Servanthood is living a lifestyle where your focus and efforts are expanded to cause others to fulfill God's plan and purpose for them. In doing this, you must know that your giftings and you must know what your giftings and responsibilities are and use them to the fullest extent for other people. Servanthood does not mean assuming a false sense of humility and withdrawing from leadership or position, but that you use the position and talents God has blessed you with to the fullest. So servanthood, in defining servanthood, we see that servanthood is a lifestyle where your focus and efforts are expended to cause others to fulfill God's plan and purpose in their life. So the question that we ask ourselves when we're involved with other people is, how can I make a difference in someone's life today? That's a good way to start out your day. Asking God, how can I make a difference in someone's life today? How can I encourage someone today? So we go on for the basis for service. The basis of servanthood is God's nature is love, number one. 1 John. We should give our lives, goes in the blank, for others. Servanthood is the very nature of God. The scripture says that God is love. And God's love is an agape love. It's an agape love, and in the Greek term, agape love exists solely for other people. So when I think of agape love, I think of a love that wants the best for someone else. I want the best for you. I love you with the love of the Lord. I want the very best for you. I might not be your best friend. I might not be able to go out with you, but know that in my heart, I have agape love. I want the best for you. How many of you know you cannot be involved in everybody's life? All right? You can't do everything that you want to do. And we'll extend ourselves far beyond what really we probably should, because we'll wear ourselves out. And so servanthood is learning who are we to serve. But we love everyone with that agape love. We want the very best for people. In 1 John 4:16 it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him." So it's important to dwell in love. It shows that you have God in you. All right, let's go on to two. Man's nature is self. Ephesians 2:3. It says this, "All of us used to be just as they are. Our lives expressing the evil within us, doing every wicked thing that our passions or our evil thoughts might lead us into. We started out bad, being born with evil natures, and were under God's anger just like everyone else." That's the Living Bible translation. We were just like everybody else. We had so much evil in our heart. How many of you have heard of Maslow's theory, his scientific study? Who's heard of Maslow? If you studied counseling, you're going to hear about Maslow. But he did a scientific study, and he developed a term or a hierarchy of needs in a person's life. And his hierarchy of needs was supposed to define safety and security as man's basic requirements for survival. So his theory was for someone to feel complete, for someone to feel satisfied, it was that they needed safety and security. And he listed other factors which motivated men to reach their highest possible level. And so when you reach that highest possible level, it was called self-actualization. Self-actualization. That meant that their personal desires and goals had been met. They had reached the top. This was Maslow's theory. But what isn't often taught is that later in life, Maslow discovered and retracted that because he said that the thing that fulfills people the most is when someone is serving somebody else. So he pulled back on that theory of security and safety and reaching goals to serving other people. So man's nature in serving others, the old man, is put to death. And the new man of God, or Christ, is allowed to arise. So the very basic roots of Christianity are exemplified in our servanthood. We die that others might live. And this isn't a physical death, but a death to ourself, our own ambitions, and fears. We've got to get over our fears if we are going to serve with freedom. Yes, the first shall be last, and the last will be first. Let's go to number two. Servanthood, business, and work. Just want to share just a couple things before we jump into a call to serve. And I want to share this. This isn't pitting like the way the world serves against us. Don't think like this is like comparing the world is bad, but God is what God says about servanthood is the best. We're not pitting that one against the others. If we're not careful, we're going to pit the secular against God, and that's not what he intended. Once again, I'm going to say, let's not think about taking sides on this. Let's just focus in on what God says about servanthood. And I don't know how your workbook is worded, but sometimes it sounds a little bit like one thing is getting pitted against the other. And that's not the goal. That's not the goal at all. And so servanthood. Often, servanthood is not looked at as a way to gain wealth. It's more about, I'm going to step on you so that I can get to where I want to go. And if we're not careful, we'll bring that into our life, even within the church, pushing people aside so we can have that position. When growing up, we were in a church that, I call it church politics. It was constantly going on. And I don't know if you've ever been involved in a church like that, but it isn't any fun, and it doesn't feel very good when you know that you're being pushed to the side and overlooked because someone is just barging in. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I need you to talk back to me so I know that you're with me. So in the world system, it's get money and get power. And God's system is an upside down kingdom. You know, Derek Prince said, the way up in the kingdom of God is down. And so that applies no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, we have to remember we are there to serve. We are there to serve. And business is a service-based activity because service meets people's needs. Serving meets somebody's needs. So as Christian business people, we take this into the marketplace. We take this into our businesses, that there is an alternative way to be successful. And that is by undergirding at the bottom and lifting up, rather than being at the top and lording over. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have any rules or guidelines or regulations. Yes, we have all of those things. But it's important how we present that to people. So let's go on, because we're going to look at our vocation, a call to serve. 1 Corinthians 7:22. I'm going to read that in a minute. It's marked in your book. But let me tell you what the blanks are, if you can't see them up there. It is servants of the customer, fellow employees, supervisors, the environment, and our communities. So it's servants, supervisors, and communities. This is where we start in our understanding of why we are in business. We're not in business just to make money. We don't go to work just to make money or provide for our families or to fulfill a personal need. We're in business to meet people's needs. We are in business as servants of the customer and the fellow employees, supervisors, and we serve in our community. As Christian businesses, people, we are called to serve and to live in servanthood. So there's an appointment and an anointing. But let me read Corinthians 7:22 first. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So I'm going to read that again. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Point two, appointment and anointing. A vocation is the primary focus where you expend your time and energy, go in the blanks, to see God's purpose and plan fulfilled. The business arena is the vocational category to which God calls the majority of Christians. The largest vocational area is not in the fivefold ministry. So why does God call more people to the business realm and into the marketplace and out into the highways and byways? Well, they want us to look at the 80-20 rule. Who's heard of the 80-20? Okay, let me share with you. John Maxwell teaches a lot on this 80-20 rule. And it is called the Pareto principle. And this principle teaches us to prioritize. So the Pareto principle states that 20% of your activities will account for 80% of your results. 20% of your activities will account for 80% of your results. And it's just a rule of thumb. It's not, you know, like God's word. But it says that 20% of the people will do 80% of the work. 20% of the people will give 80% of the money. It says 20% of the people do 80% of the praying. So God calls 20% of people into fivefold ministry to prepare the saints, and 80% of the people are about the Father's business out in the highways and byways and in the marketplace and in their own businesses. It's an 80-20 rule. So for most of us, our desk, our workbench, are our pulpit. You know, and we have truck drivers in the church, and their truck is their pulpit. Terry's always sharing stories about his opportunities to minister when he's out driving the truck. God opens up opportunities for us to minister wherever we go. So it's important that Christians understand the call, and it's also important that churches understand the importance of marketplace ministry and acknowledge people as ministers in the marketplace. There are some that are constantly sharing and preaching the gospel and ministering to people, counseling with people outside of the four walls. You see, God established the church and the fivefold ministry to teach, train, and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so as we teach and train and equip, people go out and they make a difference in people's lives by serving them with a heart attitude of agape love from the Father. You know, love is a motivating factor. When you know somebody really loves you and cares about you, you want to change. You'll want to know why that person still loves you, even when you were ugly in that situation. Come on. We can either be ugly back, or we can love them with the love of God. And I've taught myself to look beyond the faults and see their need. That's what God did for me. There's plenty of times I've been ugly. But God, It's okay. Leonard and her are like that. You know that's right. But God looks beyond our fault and He sees our need. And He's going to come and minister to us right in that place of pain. Right in that place of pain. Because God, He serves us, doesn't He? He serves us. When we think about how God serves us, thank you, Lord. He doesn't have to love us. He doesn't have to help us. But He wants to. He wants to. A change of thinking. That is B. A change of thinking. Filling in the blanks. Repent and spread is the blank. This new way of thinking that servanthood is an alternative way to success by demonstrating it in our actions. So we need to change our thinking. There is this process of changing our thinking. The word repent means to turn around and go the other way. It means to change your thinking. And Pastor Vanessa thought of this activation. I'm going to activate you right now. I'm going to have you all stand. And this is just a demonstration of how you can change your thinking. And I want you to walk around and greet some people like you are meeting them for the very first time. You're going to introduce yourself to them, shake their hand like you were meeting them for the very first time. Okay, go do that. Find somebody. Give them your name. Just introduce yourself like it's the very first time. You're just meeting them. All right, let's change it up. All right, let's change it up. Next part of the activation. Just to show how your thinking can shift and change, I want you to go meet someone and greet them like they are your long-lost friend that you've known your whole lifetime. Yeah. more long lost friends. Yes, long lost friends. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, hug somebody else. Good to see you. All right, you may be seated. Do you see how your thinking can change? And when your thinking changes, your behavior changes. You guys just enjoyed that too much. I'll have to let her know. She wasn't here to see it. All right, so we are changing how we think about servanthood. That was fun. Yeah, it was fun to watch. You could pick out all of the high I personality types. They're the let's have a party, let's have fun. They like just came alive on that activation. We won't mention any names, Terry. Oh. All right, point number one. Our work is our service, our ministry. Genesis chapter 2 tells us that Adam worked and kept the garden before, goes in the blank, the fall. Work is the ministry God has given to many of us, and all of us work. Amen? We all work. Work is ordained by God. Work was ordained by God before the fall. There are some specifics in the scripture. For instance, the scripture says, if you don't work, you won't eat. There's a certain category of who is to be taken care of and who is not to be taken care of in the scripture. And so, really, the answers that we need for our culture, for the world, they're in the Word of God. They're in God's Word. So we're ordained to work. Adam was to tend the garden. Number two, a new definition of success. We must look and see if we have helped others. We want others to grow, mature, and be more successful and fulfilled. And actually, if you look up the Hebrew meaning of the word work, it means ministry or service. The word work is ministry or service. And that's what God intended from the very beginning. And once again, we're not to lord it over people. We're there to support them. We're there to help them. So there's a new definition of success. And when we adopt the servanthood mentality, then we're going to redefine success, what success is. We can no longer look at how success at how high up in a company we go, or how many people work for us in our company, or how big of a company that we belong to, or what our production rate is, or our revenues. We must look and see if we've helped others grow. And so, have you had opportunities to help other people succeed and be fruitful? And it's important that we look at that, that we're not taking advantage of people, that we're not just using people to make us rich. That is not God's will. And I was thinking back, there was a couple that I trained years ago when we lived out in Jimtown. Tess and Bob White is their name. And any of you that live in Bristol or in that area, they have a large grooming and kennel there in Bristol called T&B White. Stands for Tess and Bob. And when they first called me about training them, they had gotten my name from a veterinarian because in my trade, I was a certified master groomer. And I was well known in the area by veterinarians and kennels. And I had so much business, I couldn't keep up. And Pastor Vanessa worked with me. Sean worked with us. And we had a great time grooming dogs and training people how to groom. And that's how I ended up starting my grooming school, was because out of need and out of people, veterinarians calling me and kennel owners, could you train someone? So anyway, Tess and Bob got my name, and they came to for training. And I trained Tess first, and that was the wife. And she really had no intentions of ever really grooming. She just wanted to run the business, so she wanted to know all the ins and outs of it. So that was interesting. But her husband, Bob, he would be the one that would groom and oversee the groomers in their business. And he was just a really different looking guy. At the time we were, still in our, Pentecostal days. So any guy with long hair, you know, I wanted to cut their hair as well as, you know, groom their dog. I'll cut your hair too, you know. But he had this long ponytail, you know, but the sweetest guy and, a really good student. And those two will call me still today. About once a year, I'll get a call from them, and they'll say, thank you, Dr. Janet, for training us. You gave us a lifetime skill, and we have been able to support ourselves, support other people, and do something that we love because you were willing to take the time and to teach us. So that's very rewarding for me. Not all of my grooming students have called me back, but they always do. And so it is about helping others succeed, helping others to become successful. Number three, principles of the servant worker. I'm going to stay on your book and my book too. As unto the Lord, Colossians 3:22-23. I'm going to fill in the blanks and then I'll read the scripture. Do your job and work as if Jesus is your supervisor. Do it with excellence and without complaining and murmuring. Okay, so whatever it is you do, whatever your trade is, whatever your job is, you do that as unto the Lord. And let's read that verse. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. There are a lot of jobs you can do if you just stay focused on, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. I'm doing this with excellence. I'm going to do this without complaining and murmuring. And let's all be honest, sometimes that's not easy. Somebody say amen. Say, she's talking to me. We're to do it without complaining and murmuring. Murmur, murmur, murmur. You know, God got pretty tired of the children of Israel murmuring and complaining. And when you read the Old Testament and you look at how God handled them, when they were murmuring, complaining because they didn't have meat to eat, and then he sent them so much meat that they choked to death while they're eating it. I think we should just really be careful about our murmuring and complaining. You know, it does not help our situation. Tell your neighbor it doesn't help. No, because remember, it's about our words. Yeah, this morning we were studying, looking at Daniel, and God said, I heard your words, and I sent an angel to help you because of your words. And so we really need to set a watch about our mouth, a guard about our lips. Okay, B, slothful, not slothful in business. Be diligent, faithful, industrious, committed, dedicated, and determined. So the two blanks are diligent and determined. If you are lazy or you're a procrastinator, seeking to do as little as possible, You are going to reap what you sow. In Romans 12:11, the scripture says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. For me, there is nothing more irritating than someone who is lazy, slothful, procrastinating. I'll take that dog off your table. You won't get paid, and I'll groom it, and you can go home. Don't mess around. We have an understanding grooming. Sean's laughing because understanding running a grooming salon, we would have 25 to 30 dogs in a day. That's a whole lot of dogs to take care of and keep track of. And that's a whole lot of customers. Some days we would have more than that. That place was noisy. People have always wondered why Micah talks so loud. The kid grew up in the groom shop. And we always said we wish Micah had a volume switch, you know? So when we get outside of the groom shop and we go to a restaurant, we could turn down that volume. Because he's yelling above the dogs and yelling above the dryers. But it's a whole lot of people to serve, and they're on a schedule. They're on a schedule. We would serve them and meet their schedule. If they needed that dog early, we would bust a move to get that dog done early. And some people don't like to leave their dog all day, and others did. So it usually worked out. There were people that would drop in the morning and pick up at the end of the day, and then there were some people that wanted their dog on their lunch hour or within 2 hours. And Sean knows we worked to serve the customer and to fit it in with their schedule. And that's why our business was so large, because people knew that we would serve them and we would take care of their animal. People would say, is there animal abuse in your shop? And I said, no, there's groomer abuse. It happens every day. And some people were just so nice, and they would have the meanest dogs. But we would groom them anyway, because the people were so nice, you know, and we knew that, you know, if someone is happy with your work, and they know their dog's naughty, they would know that. We wouldn't remind them. Nobody wants to hear they have a naughty dog. Oh, we had some, you know, scripted lines that we would say to let them know. The dog was not that well behaved that day, but we know that he did his very best. Oh, Jesus, help us. But we were on a time schedule. You can't just procrastinate. And no matter where you're working, whether it's putting in fences, you're on a time schedule. You have customers to please. You have deadlines to meet. And so recognizing whoever you're working for, they have deadlines to meet. And they are paying you to do a job. They're not just paying you to show up. There is work to do. All right, we'll go on. We don't want to run this in the ground. The scripture says not to be lazy. So tell your neighbor, don't be lazy. All right, C, faithful in what is another's. Luke 16:12. Goals. Find out what the vision of your boss or company is and help them to fulfill it. Be faithful to what they have set as their goals and objectives, and you will be successful yourself. When you help somebody else be successful, you will become successful. This is a biblical principle. Luke 16:12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Learning to be faithful. And that goes with using the gifts and the talents that God has given to us. How many have heard the parable of the talents? Yeah. And so we know that God gives some people more abilities than he does other people. It's right there in that parable. But when you're faithful with what you have, God will give you more. In the parable of the talents, the man that was not faithful with the one talent that he had, God just took it away from him and gave it to the guy that was faithful. You know, there are biblical principles that the world seems to scream at nowadays. Everybody wants a reward. Everybody wants a trophy. Everyone is treated equal. And we are treated equal. We are all equally loved by God. But the reality is we have to face the reality that God gives more abilities to some people. And whatever he's given to you, he's just asking you to be faithful with that. And so where much is given, much is required. When somebody else has more money or more gifts, more talent, they are held to a stricter accountability because they have to give account for all of that. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we are to be faithful to what is another person's. Learn what the vision is and learn how you can serve. And if you're a company owner, then it's keeping that vision out there. Letting people know what your company is trying to accomplish. D, do unto others. We could rephrase this scripture to say, do unto others as they would have you do unto them. Let's go on to the principles of the servant leader. And as we're doing that, I did want to share something about being the best that you can be. I have a quote from Martin Luther King, and he said this: if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as a Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. All right, principles. Is that where we're at the servant leader? All right. The principle, the master principle is found in Mark 10:43-44. And that is, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant. Jesus said that. Leadership is based upon serving those you are leading. It involves using the unique gifts and talents that God has given to you as a leader and to help those you are leading to fulfill the purposes of God in the kingdom of God. And so that's our master principle. Whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant. Characteristics of a servant leader: God-reliant, not self-reliant. We've got to trust in the Lord. Number two, others motivated, not self motivated. And three, taking responsibility and not giving blame. Taking responsibility. Okay, let's go on. Five, principles of the servant organization. Customer and service focused. A servant organization looks first at its customers and its employees. It's not profit motivated, but service motivated. It treats employees with fairness and sees them as an integral part of its success. It seeks to provide quality service and products at an affordable price. It creates a win-win situation between itself and its customers. Now, we have a store, a little restaurant down the street, and every time you turn around, they have a help wanted sign outside. I mean, constantly. Which makes me wonder, why can't they keep help? Because if it was a good place to work and they were being treated fairly, they would want to stay there and they would want to work there. But it's like this revolving door all the time. So being fair and seeing people as a part of the success of the business. And B, upside down management. We're ready for the next one. Is that right? Upside down management. Provide employees with training, tools, and benefits enables them to do the best job. Is that where we're at? Yes, it is. Would you go to the next slide? There we go. Upside down management. It's a reversed pyramid. In servanthood management, those in position of authority seek to provide employees with what they need to succeed. It supports them rather than lording over them. And so this is how it is in the church. The fivefold ministry supports the saints and the work of the saints. We serve the saints so they can accomplish what God has given them to do. And so you can see on this pyramid is the supporting rather than lording over. Once again, Jesus said, he that is first will be last. And Pastor Vanessa, her revelation and understanding on that scripture is, he that is first shall be last. She would always tell me that means that we are the first ones there and the last one to leave. The first one to get out and unlock the groom shop and get everything going, and the last one to leave because we had to do all the cleaning. If employees decided not to clean before they ran out the door or the dogs left late. So he that is first shall be last, and he that is last shall be first. So that's a principle in the kingdom of God. I thought that was interesting. That's the way she interpreted that. I wish she was here to teach this. All right, we're going to go on to see. I believe there's another pyramid if you want to go to the next slide. There you go. This is how most people think if they do not have a renewed mind. This is not God's way. Derek Prince once again said the way up is down. All right, let's go on to see. Balance and moderation in all things. The servant organization is balanced in the principal areas of its culture. It does not strive to make short-term gains at the expense of employees or customers. It doesn't function on power and control, but on service. And here are the five major areas. People are considered, is in the blank, over profits, processes, and products. Two, profits are used to establish God's kingdom. When you have a kingdom business or you have established a business to bring in resources for the work of the ministry to support the kingdom of God, which should be off the top of whatever you're doing. If you want God to bless that business, then you've got to get in that financial covenant with God. So you demonstrate to the world and to those around you godly principles. You don't have to preach at them or post scriptures all over the place, because we are living epistles known and read by all men. It is like you're wearing a t-shirt that is shouting. Who you are and what you believe by the way that you treat people. So, Apostle Leon owned businesses, and he was always careful to be a man of integrity and to represent God well. But he didn't tell them right up front his position or his call in the kingdom of God. He simply represented Jesus, his hands, his feet, by his mannerisms, by how he spoke to people. And he still does that, doesn't he? You would know the man is a Christian without him ever even opening his mouth. I've gone shopping with him. I've been places with him. And honestly, he'll see trash in a parking lot and he'll go over and make sure that gets picked up and thrown away. He's always cleaning up other people's property. He just doesn't walk by it. Because the earth is the Lord's. We should all be stewards. It's just not right just to walk by to see something laying on the floor and just walk by it and just leave it there. Even if you have a hard time bending over to pick it up, you got to find one of the kids and say, hey, come here and pick this up, would you? Or we got some of those pinchers to use out in the yard. And Brother Robert Keck, he'll come up once or twice a week and pick up the trash. Pastor Leonard, many, many times, has picked up trash. And one week he counted how many pieces of trash he picked up. And how many was it? 340. Was that in a week or a day? A day. But you know what? Sometimes he finds $20 bills out there too. Yeah, it makes people want to like pick up the trash at River of Life. God pays you. God pays you. Yeah, he gets really excited about that. All right, are we on number three? Products are godly, services and items, which are made with quality and excellence. Once again, when we're working for God, he is our boss. We want to do the very best that we can do. Turn out the best product you can turn out. Do the best job you can in the office or in the grocery store or wherever you're at. Number four, power. Power is God's power used to see growth and productivity for his purpose, and not power over people. Once again, we don't lord over people, but we learn how to motivate and encourage people. Number five, purpose. Purpose is scriptural and service motivated, not selfish. Service motivated and not selfish. We are on number four. Somebody shout hallelujah. We're almost done. We're doing good. The keys to servanthood. Servanthood must be grown in us. Help people meet their needs, and you will prosper or be successful. When we are helping someone else, we become successful. Your success is our success. So servanthood cannot just be turned on and off, like a light switch is turned on and off. It must be grown in us and in our organizations. A, we need the right motives. Our motives are to line up with the scripture, and then our actions and reactions will follow. Servanthood says the opposite of what the world system, which is the pyramid this way, says. Their success, they have success by taking advantage of people and using people as stepping stones. But servanthood says the opposite. We help people and meet their needs, and we will be prosperous and successful. One thing I did in my groom shop that a lot of kennel owners, pet store owners would not do, is I made sure we had the best equipment. I made sure we had tables that went up and down. They were hydraulic, so that you're not constantly hurting your back, because you pick up a lot of dogs, and it's a physical job. I also had a clipper vac. I got a big one. It hooked up to 6 different grooming stations, and it hooked onto your clippers, and as you clip the dog, the hair would go right up that hose and into a big holder. That was to protect our own lungs. You know, you'd be breathing hair all the time. And also, the dog looks so much better after using the clipper vac. And everybody loved the clipper vac. Didn't we love the clipper vac, Sean? And I would feel sorry for my students, because they'd come into my shop and they'd have all these conveniences. Hey, if something new came out of the market that was going to make our job easier, I was going to buy it. Because I wanted to equip them with the best. And then they'd get stuck in these kennels and in these groom shops, and they would have like 0 luxuries. They'd be calling me up, "Where'd you get that?" And then pretty soon they'd call me back and say, "My boss won't buy one." Well, they're not cheap, you know. We also had shampoo machines. And so when you turn the water on, you could flip a switch and the shampoo would just come right out. Turn that switch off, rinse the dogs down. It just made everything so much easier. High velocity dryers. Just blow that water right out of that dog's hair. It was better for the dog. You didn't have to put them in a cage to dry for hours, which most places do. But we'd hand dry those dogs and they'd fluff up. And see, the work was excellent. The work was excellent, and people loved it. But making it convenient for people so that they have the right tools to do their job with excellence. All right. Are we on B? I get to talking. Faith and trust in God. We must know and trust God in His Word. If we do not trust God, and then we will continually be tempted to do things the world's way. We've got to be careful that we trust God in His Word. We know God works it all together for good. In the midst of the chaos and the conflict and things going on, if we'll just get with God, like the Word of the Lord was tonight, get in that still place and hear what God is saying to us about that situation. There is nothing too difficult for God. And the scripture clearly says that what we bind on earth, we can bind in heaven, and what is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that is only after Jesus has done a teaching on listening to God's voice. We've got to hear His voice. What He says to us is what we do, and it will work. But we've got to hear the word first. That's why it's so important to hear the voice of the Lord. And that's why that's one of the top priorities here at River of Life, that everyone that attends our church can hear God's voice. We've got to hear his voice. And then there is always godly counsel available, because sometimes you're like, I'm not sure if I heard his voice or not. But God will give us wisdom together so that we know what to do. Actions based on God's word, not circumstances. Servanthood is based on love. This often means we may choose to do things which appear in the natural to be the opposite of what we should be doing to succeed. And when I read that, I thought of Elder Ron Dittlinger. He had employees, and he would do everything he could to take care of his employees. Even when work was low, I know the man would struggle because he wanted to make sure his employees were paid and that their families were taken care of. And you see, that's God's heart. That's God's heart. When we have businesses and we are able to employ people, we want to make sure that we are taking care of them and not taking advantage of them. But we have to make sure they don't take advantage of us too. Come on. Come on. There's always two sides here. But God will give you wisdom about that too. When somebody's taking advantage of you, or somebody's trying to take money. You know, people do take money. So we've got to be wise. We've got to be wise and learn how to handle those situations. But whatever the difficulty, God will give us the word. Whatever the difficulty, God will give us the grace. Whatever the difficulty, God is going to see us through it. And so we've got to stay focused on God and not focused on the difficulty. Because what happens, we get focused on that difficulty and it just eats at us. Come on, it will eat at us. And we'll spend so much time thinking about it. We've got to give it to God. We've got to give it to God, and he will take care of it. If we do our part, tell your neighbor, if you do your part. All right. Promotion comes from the Lord. And I don't think this is written in your book, but if you'll write down Psalm 75, 6 through 7. And I love this verse. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God decides. Who has the final say? That's right. Jehovah has the final say. All right, let's go on. We ready to go on? Number 7, benefits of servanthood. It's a lifestyle that glorifies God and offers opportunity, loves fellow workers, employees, supervisors, and customers. In due season, if we do not faint, we will see the fruit of our labors. Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to faint. Sometimes we have to go that second mile. We did a study here on the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus taught us about going the second mile. And that was kind of a tough lesson when we were studying it. But the Lord wants us to do the extra mile. If they ask us to walk one, well, then we walk two. If they ask us for our coat, we give it to them. In other words, we are serving others to help them so that they will be benefited, so that they will see the love of God. There are some things we just don't need. Some of you have a whole lot of coats in your closet that you never even wear. Is that right? Americans have a lot of things. If you look at the 80-20 rule, you will wear 20% of your clothes and the other 80% Or this is what it is. You'll wear 20% of your clothes 80% of the time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about out there? You will wear 20% of your clothes 80% of the time. Hallelujah. We're going to get off the clothes subject. But anyway, when we were going through the Sermon on the Mount, we had a hashtag second mile strong. You know, we want to be hashtag second mile strong people. In due season, we will see the fruits of our labors. Okay, let's read through these last points together. A, the last shall be first. B, success in God. C, promotion comes from God. D, the wealth of the wicked is saved for the righteous. E, ruling and reigning with Christ. These are the benefits of servanthood. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Hey, that's a good shout. Yes. Yes. And so as an activation, I'm going to have the praise team come up here. And while we're singing this song, the song is I Give Myself Away. Pastor Vanessa suggested we write down three qualities that identify us as a servant leader. Personally in your life, three qualities that identify you as a servant leader. Maybe they aren't things that you've attained yet, but they are three qualities you want to see in your life as a servant out in the marketplace. Three things, three qualities that you can identify with, that speak to your identity. And we're going to sing this song, I Give Myself Away. And as a second part of that activation, I would encourage you to come forward and kneel here at the altar, if you can kneel, if you can, I totally understand that. But present yourself to the Lord and talk to the Lord about these three qualities. These three qualities are something you can reach for every day. John Maxwell also has another rule. It's called a 5 and 5 rule. It's the rule of five, actually. The rule of five. And it's writing down five things that you want to reach for every day. Five things that you're going to do every day. Five things. It might be how you want to respond to your wife. It might be how you treat your employees. I'm just asking you to do three. And as we're singing this song, we invite you to come and kneel at the altar and talk to God about those three things. I give myself away so you can use me, Lord.